message that awakens people and penetrates their heart. I don't know which came first, the failure of the St. Joseph's or the failure of the priest Alter Christus. Who ran first? Because when we are in communion, fellas, we are impenetrable by the evil. But when we allow ourselves to compare ourselves to other people, I'm not as bad as this one. I haven't done that, Father. Or as brother priests, we do the same thing. You are sliding down the pole of secularism. Welcome to weakness. Because all of a sudden you've started comparing yourself to that which is lesser. Nobody that I know of compares themselves to the Cleveland Browns. They're not like, Coach, I hope we're better than the Brownies. Oh, you mean 0-16? Yeah, we're not as bad as the Browns, right, Coach? Great. You're 2-14. Look deeper. Compare yourselves to the best. Christ. Pope Benedict really courageously wrote on hope. And he reminds us, like, if you have hope, you have to live differently. The one who has hope lives differently. I have been awakened through these last few weeks to listen to the words of Scripture more deeply. I hear them differently now. And that failure in my 20 years of priesthood to hear elicited from me actually an apology to this powerful Word of God. Where have you been? I want to remind you that look through your life. Look at all the things that you've not noticed in your life. The graces, the gifts that the church has had available for you. The things you said, I don't want to do that. I'm too busy. Don't misunderstand. I know you can't do everything. But I think that what we need now is really a conversion of the human heart. When Pope Benedict wrote about hope, he says that God has shown us his face in Christ, and he opened for us his heart. He goes on to describe that Christ reveals what is in his heart. What? The kingdom of God is there. His first words, repent, believe in the gospel. Isn't that what we need? Repentance on a retreat. Recalibrating why God made me. Why has this God made me? Most of us, as I look around the room, we're probably at midfield, right? 50-yard mark in life. Who knows? Some of you guys may live on forever, right? Like Moses, right? But I'm 50, and who knows how long I'll keep screaming into a microphone. And I wonder, is this situation going to bring greater love out of me? Is it going to really bring a greater intensity of my ministry. So that my sacrifice at the altar will be really what it's intended to be. A sacrifice freely offered to the Father and an act of redemption for humanity. The ultimate and highest act of love is when you and I adore God. When I tell God, Lord, thank you. I was in El Salvador for a couple of weeks trying to learn Spanish. There's something that happens to your mind when you turn 50, because you don't remember anything, right? Anyway. It makes me actually a better confessor. And I would study, and then I'd go to class the next day, and she's like, I don't know, I can't remember that, I can't remember. And she's like, did you study? I was like, I studied, right? And she's like, oh, you know. I knew by the second eye roll that I was like destined for mediocrity, right? So I would start my day in the chapel. They had this beautiful perpetual adoration chapel, right? And I go to pray at about 4:15 in the morning. They have this dog, right? So the dog and I would roll into the chapel together, right? Dog's name is Pinky, right? Yeah. So I go in there and Pinky would go out. I'd open the door and Pinky went out and did what she needed to do, and then she rolled back in, right? Anyway, Pinky would sit down and, like, scratch herself the whole holy hour, right? You know, like, the first day, you're like, oh, that's intriguing, right? And after that, you're like, Pinky, get out, right? And cleaned herself. I remember about 5:30, some lady would come in every day, and she had that, like, old lady volume, like she didn't know she was speaking out loud. She thought she was just speaking inside, like the inside voice, but it was the outside voice. And then I just, you know, you can't not hear her because she's sitting 4 feet away. And every day she would come in and she would start her prayer with, you know, gracias a Dios, thank you, God. Right? Thank you. And I thought to myself, you know, lady, you just indicted me. How many times, guys, do you go to the altar, or to the chapel, and you begin your prayer, Lord, thank you. And then I began to think about the word Eucharist, and, you know, it means what? Thanksgiving. And I began to think to myself, Lord, have I just failed to appreciate and to say thank you? So I found myself coming back in the mornings and I would, you know, begin my prayer, Lord, I adore you. I believe that you are here, etc. I'd say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for putting up with me. Thank you for etc. And I just kind of went down a litany. I want to tell you that something changes in the human heart when you guys begin a time of prayer with thank you, Lord. It might be thank you for a wipeout. It might be thank you for something great. I don't know. But if we are going to enter more deeply into the Holy Mass, I think that we have to become more grateful on the way to the Holy Mass. When I left, Father sent me a text. He's like, hey, Father Dan, I'm going to start a new mission. He's got 10. I said, why? He said, well, there's gangs, and those people can't leave that area anymore, so I'm going to go to them and So he's buying plastic chairs and a simple altar. And I thought to myself, you know, these people are jeopardizing their lives to go to Mass. And I wonder, what's happened to the concept of sacrifice in our own faith? I think the heart of the wound in the church is a failure to sacrifice. Somewhere along the line, we bought into the idea that it's a symbol. And so we have these symbolic sacrifices. Right? I give up meat on Friday in Lent, but I have salmon steaks. It's just a symbol. That's a symbolic sacrifice. I stand by the reality that if there was authentic sacrifice in the heart of every Catholic Christian, then the voice and the message of the church would continue to echo. But I think because that's been lost in the priesthood, it's been lost in the Holy Mass, it's been lost basically in the Christian identity. Is it entirely possible that until sacrifice comes back into our hearts and into our bodies, that we will continue to live symbolically? Symbolic Christianity. Christ was always supposed to be a victim. Always. He was born in the manger, supposed to be eaten. But when John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God, that's all she wrote. When they called him the Lamb of God, they knew that boy's going down. And I'm not sure why we don't embrace that more. When you were baptized into Christ. So therefore, you should know that you've always been intended to be sacrificed. This is not a poetic, pious thought. But I do believe, and it's been clearer to my heart more than ever, that when the church goes back to the sacrificial living that we're called to be, to live differently as Christian men and women, especially the priesthood, people are incredibly edified, and God builds up something grace-filled. So the title of this first talk might be, Where Have All the Victims Gone? I close just with one more thought, and then we'll give you a little break before dinner. I was anointing a little girl in my school. She has a bad sickness. She has to take insulin. She's got some big surgeries coming up. So I saw her, right, on Thursday at 7:30. She's a fifth grader. And her mom and her sister came in. I said, "Hi, honey. How you doing? Sit down." Gives me a big hug, smile. We sit close because I'm going to anoint her. She knows the drill. I said, "How you doing? Good, Father." When I looked at her, she had really rosy cheeks, and her eyes were really, really glassy. "How's school? How'd you do yesterday? The previous day was first day of school." I said, "Did you get thrown out? Did you get any F's?" right? Try to get an F, I'm proud of you, right? Anyway, mom coughed up that my daughter handed me the wrong, and it was true. They have like 6-hour insulin and 24-hour insulin, something like that. And the little girl handed the wrong insulin. And mom gave her that insulin at 7 o'clock the night before, or whatever. Well, anyway, you have to keep her up all night because that could tank her. I don't know the medical terms, but, right? So every 45 minutes, they woke her up and put some icing or sugar in her gums or something like that. Only after 10 minutes did this little girl cough it up that had happened. She was not going to tell me that she had been up basically all night. And she was sucking it up going to school the next day. I was like, are you kidding? It's like, yeah, Father. I was like, sweetheart, are you going to make it through? It's just a half day. It's like, I can do it. I mean, she looked like a drunken sailor. I mean, I was like, sweetheart, are you okay? She said, I can do it, Father. I can do it. That's what we need. That's what we need. She's a big Giants fan, right? So I gave her my Giants tickets, right? For the Redskins. You know, it doesn't take away the pain of this little kid, but you get the point. I was like, oh man, I just love you. Thank you for having such courage. I want to put that before you. That little sacrifice of that fifth grader was a sacrifice pleasing to God. I still stand. What's broken in the church is the lack of sacrifice. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. Quit making it a stinking symbol. All of you. It is supposed to be a sacrifice. It is not a communion service. It is not a communion service. I challenge you. Where are you in your sacrifices? Where are you in the deeper sacrificial love? This is my body. Where are you with that? Is your head and your heart one? Or are you living two stinking lives? And the reason why we're in this nonsense is because people have lived two lives. Amen? I hate to say it, and I've lived them too. We all have that weakness in our lives. But it's time that we seriously sacrificed for Mother Church. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Saint Joseph.